We are recording. Today is Monday Mindset, May 9th. Welcome to the call. I have an exciting topic for you this morning that is NLP-based. It is about the mindset of modeling excellence. One of the things that I said in my initial summary of what this call was going to be about is that if one agent can sell 100 homes, anybody can do it. If one agent can have a balanced family life, anyone can do it. If one agent is great at FSBOs, anybody can do it. If one agent is great at scheduling, anybody can do it. And there are people who are recognized for being particularly good at what they do, whether it's real estate or sports or art or relationships. NLP is the bridge between being jealous of those people or admiring them. It provides some strategies that will allow you to internally assume or take on the differences that make the difference between the genius and the average performer. So if you've ever wondered how an agent who looks like a normal person walking down the street who probably puts their pants on the same way that you do can do an extraordinary number of deals, and you just can't quite understand that, this is the call for you. So what is modeling? What is modeling? Well, we're not talking about fashion modeling here. We're talking about modeling someone. And you've been doing this since you were a baby. Did you dress up in your mother's high heels?
No.
Yes.
Did you?
Yes.
Mike said yes.
My son did dress up in mine, too, so there you go.
All right. No problem. Did you like to play cowboy? Or did you like to walk like your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister that you looked up to? Did you say, I want to be like somebody when I grow up? Who's ever said that?
Yep.
Yeah. I've said, I want to be like this person when I grow up. On an unconscious level, we are still modeling those we admire. And we do it all the time, every day. In NLP, this is also a technique known as acting as if. When you act as if you're the person you're modeling, you become super confident or resourceful or organized. And you can observe some amazing things that will happen when you take on this practice of modeling. Now, with any practice that we take on, it is critical to place ourselves in a state or mindset that supports that. So when we're modeling excellence, we want to make sure we're in the right mindset. Most of us have only scratched the surface when it comes to drawing on our inner resources. We are like the iceberg where most of it lies below the surface. By modeling, we open up to all the potential that's waiting inside us. With modeling, you too can make the choice to be who you want to be. So letting that state be your guide, it will allow something to come through for you. And we have tools for this in Your Coaching Matters, which most of you are very familiar with. So you'd want to ideally start with the mindset of modeling with your standards of integrity. After all, observing what we see in others that we admire is modeling. So who has their standards of integrity card handy?
I do.
All right. Mike, would you like to read your standards of integrity?
I am loving, truthful, enthusiastic, grateful, creative, inquisitive, joyful, giving, and passionate. I know these qualities are mine because I see them in others.
Fantastic. So Mike knows those are his qualities because he sees them in others. And imagine what it would be like to start every day just modeling people that have those qualities. So the initial people that you may have used for that modeling exercise, you might want to go back and look at who those people were, whether they're living or not living. There are certainly things that you can model about them. One of the things we do at the Your Coaching Matters event that we always do in Atlanta is we model Walt Disney. We take Walt Disney's process of creating and we model that. So it doesn't always have to be someone in your office or in your field. You can model the people that share your standards of integrity and, you know, really learn a lot. Modeling is not a technique, it's a lifestyle and it's a mindset. So when we're always looking for those qualities that we admire in others, that becomes a lifestyle. And it also is the wonderful cure for seeing what's wrong with people. When we're looking at what's right with people and what these standards of integrity are, we can start modeling the people that we really look up to. So find examples of excellence. Let's look at an example of someone you admire who seems to be super organized. Does anybody know anybody like that? Super organized, and you want to be like them.
Yes.
Yeah, good. So everybody take a minute and just think of somebody, an agent in your office or a broker or someone who just seems like they have it together in terms of their organization. And you may ask them, how do you do that? And they may not actually be able to tell you what they actually do. If I said to one of you, how did you get organized today? You might give me one little piece of it, but it may be difficult for you to tell me what you actually do. And this is because so much of what we do that results in excellence is unconscious. You might say, I don't know. Or you might say, I'm not organized, even though I'm modeling you because you are. Or you might tell me what you think you do to stay organized. So you might get pieces from somebody, but it's a little more productive to get the whole strategy. So to find the strategy of your super organized role model, you'll want to watch them doing it or reliving the experience of doing it. Because what people think they do is rarely the same as they actually do. Once you have the elements of their strategy, you can test which elements add to excellence and which ones detract. Maybe you want to model a successful listing presentation. Maybe you know someone from your Coaching Matters that's got a fantastic listing presentation, and you want to model that. Or maybe you know somebody that works for Sale by Owners very successfully, and you want to model that. You're going to want to find out what the strategy is and not just the pieces. So I'm going to give you the shortcut technique to modeling a skill, and this will come out in the notes. Are you ready? Number one is identify the skill you want to model or produce or reproduce. So once you know what skill it is, that you want to model, you can become clear on what you're looking for. For example, someone who's got a great schedule, they get up at 5 a.m., they're in the office by 8, they're organized, and they start to prospect at 9 a.m. They track their time in 15-minute increments. They consistently start the day in a positive frame of mind. They have time for their family. Wouldn't we all like to model someone like that? Say yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Right. Select people, then, who you think demonstrate excellence in that particular skill. And it could be that you just pick one of these skills. It could be that they consistently start the day in a positive frame of mind. Maybe that's the skill you want to model. Define excellence in terms of the results that the model of your excellence achieves. What do you see, feel, and hear when this top producer is modeling this skill? Number three is observe your model in action to identify the following. So this is not about what they think they do to have a positive frame of mind. This is actually about what they do when they're in action to have a positive frame of mind. So once you observe the model in action, you're going to find out what they do and how they do it specifically. You're going to ask their permission. You're going to notice any specific behavior patterns. You're going to notice how they manage their environment. Is their environment clean? Is that why they have a positive frame of mind? Is their environment creative? You're going to notice those things. You're going to identify their language patterns and filters. How do they talk when they're having this positive frame of mind first thing in the morning? Ask them what they say to themselves. How do they talk to other people? What's their tone? What's the energy of their voice? What are the beliefs and values they demonstrate and express when they're in the positive frame of mind? Watch how they communicate. What's their identity? What's their sense of identity when they have the positive frame of mind? And what purpose do they fulfill or seem to fulfill by doing this every morning? Then question your model. Make sure that you that they want to allow you to shadow them or have you ask them questions. Who on the call has ever shadowed another agent?
I have,
yeah. And what's that experience like?
Invigorating.
Incredibly eye-opening.
Incredibly eye-opening. Because when you see what another agent does and how they run their business, suddenly you're taken out of your own box. So you can shadow agents in your own market. You can shadow agents out of your market. You can shadow agents within your coaching matters that you think have a particular skill. And you don't always have to physically go to them. Maybe you want to do a little video chat so you can see how they manage the skill that you're looking to model. And again, modeling is a process of discovering what they don't know about themselves. It's not about them telling you what they think they do, because very few people can describe that in a way that is accurate and empowering. There are many questions you can ask them, but be sure to phrase your questions in the present tense so that they're talking to you as if they're actually doing it. You're interested in the what they do and the how they do, but not the why. With NLP, we're never interested in the why. You can ask questions like, Mike, when you lay out your week, what are you thinking about? Or how would you describe your priorities? So especially if you're doing this modeling over the phone, you want to have these kinds of questions laid out. And then reproduce the thinking and behavior patterns of the person that you're modeling so that you can take on their strategy. And you're going to test your model by taking away one element at a time to see if it's key to the process. So I do this a lot when I'm creating a new listing presentation. I will watch what other agents have done, or I'll model a listing presentation package. And maybe I'll take one element away because it doesn't seem that useful to me in the context. And then I'll see if that's key to the process. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, you've all done this, right? You've shifted around your presentation. You've heard a great objection handler on one of your Coaching Matters calls, and you've said, I'm going to put that in my listing presentation. And maybe you've tested it, and it hasn't really added what you thought it would. You're free to take that element out and test something else. But write the strategy down so you can use it in the future. This is the biggest place where we tend not to have the results that we want, is we don't write our strategies down. What is this agent doing that you want to replicate and follow? And start breaking it down with them and just write down. Ask them, you know, what do you do when you first wake up in the morning? What gets you out of bed? What's your motivation to have the first 2 hours of the morning totally under your control? So you want to just get into their unconscious mind and into their head to lay this out. And as you're modeling people, you can model good practices, or you might start taking on some practices that don't serve you very well. If you were learning to play baseball, you might get a coach, or you might watch someone else that you really admire play baseball, And maybe you say to yourself, I saw that player hit a home run, and boy, people cheered and they loved him. I'm going to hit a home run. And if I hit a home run, people are going to cheer for me, and it's great to be in those feelings. So you try and try and try to hit a home run without doing the steps or the strategy that that particular player has or understanding what how those pieces come together. And there's a real high level of frustration with that. You see that they can do it. You see that the agent that does 100 deals a year can do it, and they don't seem any different than you. But we just don't understand how and what. So our real power comes from being able to see what works and what doesn't. And if we can't discern that, it will often result in the reproduction of bad practice because we're only using little pieces we've picked up instead of following the strategy of excellence. So anybody ever picked up a bad skill in real estate from a broker or a manager or bad thinking, stinky thinking?
Yeah, I at one point wouldn't work with leads that were more than 7 days old.
Absolutely. There you go. Is that a good practice or a bad practice? Only you can decide that. Just be very aware of what works and what doesn't work. Now, can you model yourself? Absolutely. When you know where your talents are, you can reproduce those talents and cross them over to other areas of your life. Let's pretend that you're a really good communicator with other agents in your office, but you just don't have the same success with clients. You can model yourself to find the difference between the two so that you can become a good communicator no matter what the context. Maybe you'd have someone else interview you and ask you, what's the process that you use to communicate when you're communicating so well with your peers? And what's the process that you run or the strategy that you run when you're picking up the phone to prospect? And I'm going to give you a pretty amazing insight to this in a few minutes. You are always running a program in your mind that tells you that two situations are not the same instead of reproducing excellence from one area to the other. So if you do something well in one area of your life, you can cross it over to other areas. Break down the images you have in your mind and you find a strategy. So here's a great example of seeing what works and what doesn't. And I think you'll get something pretty mind-blowing out of this. A real estate company noticed its agents were having very inconsistent results. Standard across the industry, isn't it? Brokers wonder why some real estate agents in their office do well and others don't. Some of the agents were very successful with clients, and they were able to consistently get on the phone, prospect, and convert calls into appointment in a very efficient way. And then other agents would call and call and call, and they were struggling to get past the first few minutes of the conversation. Sound familiar?
Yep.
Because we've all gone through both of these cycles, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've all had times when we were able to get on the phone and just really connect with people. And really grab those appointments and other times when we were struggling. So the real estate company was looking at these two disparities. And what the real estate company found when they modeled what was happening with these calls was that the agents who were successful were using a different mental image based on what they'd heard about different groups of people they had to call. So what are some mental images that you've heard about people that you have to call? About they're never home in the morning? Anybody ever had that one? That mental image? They
yes.
want to talk to an agent? Yes?
Yep.
If I call them, they're going to be rude or they're going to hang up? What are some other mental images you've heard from other agents about the people that you have to call? Well, what are some of the mental images that you've picked up from other agents about lead generation?
People are home during the morning.
Absolutely. That's a big one we hear. What else?
FSBOs are cheap. FSBOs are cheap.
Yep, FSBOs are cheap. Anybody got another one?
Buyers hate realtors.
Buyers hate realtors. How about they'll be eating dinner in the evening?
Yeah.
Don't interrupt them during dinner. What else?
You have to make massive numbers of contacts to be successful.
That's a big one. Yeah. That's a big one. What else? They won't like me. That's a big one I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you see how this works when you have these mental images in your head? Or maybe you've heard someone say that people don't like to get phone calls before 9 o'clock in the morning, or that you shouldn't call during dinner, or that FSBOs are rude. So when we have these mental images, we're creating a strategy that doesn't serve us. This is an example of picking up bad strategies or bad practices from the people we work with. So in this real estate company, it turned out that modeling the right mental image was the magic formula for results. Those who were successful had a mental image of their favorite aunt or uncle or friend before they ever picked up the phone. They imagined the person receiving the call to be in a brightly lit room. The image was vivid, and they imagined the other person smiling. When the more unsuccessful agents were asked what their mental image was, they said they imagined that the person on the other end of the phone was in a dark room. And again, this is something that we do unconsciously. So you're not consciously saying, well, the other person on the end of the phone is in a dark room. But after these agents made these calls, when they were asked about their strategy, what the company found was they were imagining that the person on the other end of the phone was probably in a dark room. And the image was very defocused and gray. They imagined that the person on the other end of the line had a serious expression on their face. And all of this happened before they even picked up the phone. By modeling the successful mental strategies, the real estate company was able to train the previously less successful sales agents in better mental maps. The average conversion rate, calls to appointments increased significantly. So, thoughts, questions. Had you ever considered this before?
No, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Donna, this is Donna Lisa. I did miss a couple minutes of the call, so I'm hoping I'm not being, you know, redundant here. But it's interesting to consider that I really do have a lot of those mental images, but I really haven't been very aware of them. And one of the things I'm working on in general in life is visualization. And I'm like, okay, so visualization, why don't I go ahead and put this fantastic picture of the person on the other end of the phone in my head, and maybe I can put a picture up on the wall of someone smiling and, hey, answer my phone call, you know, because I know that that is part of what's holding me back from doing it. Even when I'm, like, in the mood to make a phone call, I'll pick it up and I'll make one call, and then I'm, like, done. Why?
Mm.
So this can help. I think it's fantastic. Thank you.
That's brilliant, especially if you're visual, having that image on the wall of somebody smiling and friendly in full color, because when we imagine people in color, we're much more engaged and much happier when we call them. That's brilliant, Donna Lisa. Fantastic. Anyone else have observations or questions? See, there's
really
so many implications in this, in the way that we box ourselves in to what's acceptable and what's not. And you don't need to be concerned about the negative mental images that you're carrying around. The way to switch this around is simply focus on the positive images. Speak like you're speaking to your best friend when you call. Imagine that the person on the other end of the phone is someone that you really like, and your voice changes. You can absolutely hear it as I'm speaking to you, that I'm speaking to you in a much different way when I'm imagining all of you as friends on the phone. And when you have friends on the phone, there's no need to force anything. There's no need to worry about the do not call list. There's no need to have all those mental images in your head that screw with your business. All you need to do is start with the right mental image, and you'll enjoy calling people. You'll enjoy transferring the skill of being wonderful with your friends and family, like I know Donna Lisa is. You can transfer that over to prospecting. Anybody else have questions about that? I have a very quick story I can tell you, which just kind of emphasizes the power of modeling. So there was a man who was driving in the desert, and his car broke down, and he didn't know where he was. So he got out of the car, and he crawled into the desert, and he didn't have anything with him. His cell phone was dead. And he realized that he was in a pretty dire situation as night fell. And as he survived the night and the sun came up on the horizon, he knew that that sun could mean certain death. Without food, water, or shelter, there would be no chance of survival. And then at his side, he noticed a small bush, and he crawled underneath and curled up and used the shade that was there. But he felt despair because no one knew where he was. And just at that moment, he saw a falcon landing on the bush. And to the man's amazement, the falcon spoke and asked, "Can I help you?" And the man was shocked, but he said, "I'm dying of thirst. My mouth and tongue are swollen. To survive, I need water." And the falcon said, "Look behind you. There's a snake. Follow the snake, for it knows where the water seeps out of the rocks. And there you will be able to drink." And the next day the falcon came back and said, "How are you?" And the man said, "Well, I've drunk, but I need food to survive. Water enough is not alone." And he said, the falcon said, "Stay quiet. Wait till the antelope passes by. When it does, follow it. It can show you where the cactus plants are, you know, which is food." So the guy followed the antelope and ate the cactus. The next day the falcon came back. "Can I do anything for you?" it asked. "Yes," the man said. "Although I have drank water and I've eaten, I still need salt to survive. How can I get the salt I need to live?" "Have no fear," said the falcon. "The fox also needs salt. If you follow the fox, you will see where it finds the rocks to lick that give you the salt you need." And the man did as the falcon said and returned to find that the bush that he'd been under for shelter had been burnt and charred. And he said, "What will I do now? I have no shelter. I will burn to death." And then the man realized that by following the animals, he had modeled how to find food, water, and salt. He knew how to survive. He knew how to survive. So the last part of the story is the falcon says, "Anything I can do for you, shall I show you the way home?" And the man thought for a minute and said, "No, I think I'll stay a little while longer." So it's kind of a exquisite story about modeling and how if you want the difference that makes a difference in your business, find someone to model. Find out what their strategy is. And you too can have whatever you want. So thanks everybody for being on the call. Any quick questions?
Thanks, Donna.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Donna.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great week.
Thanks everybody.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye.